All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present is invited to stay throughout the commission's meeting to view the commission's deliberations and the votes on the pending applications. In addition, these proceedings are broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. Everyone in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion, and no applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please don't do anything that distracts from these proceedings, and we ask that you follow the directions of the chairman. Also, if you have a telephone or similar device, we ask that you turn it off or switch it to silent service. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman, and then the director will review the application and describe any agency comments or correspondence that has been received. Then the applicant will present and explain its application to the commission and may present any relevant exhibits and testimony in support of the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. After the applicant's presentation, the chairman will invite public comment. Supporters will go first, followed by any opponents. If there is a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that that person identify themselves and speak first. Whenever speaking to the commission, please come up to the podium and identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. We ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chairman does have the authority to set time limits on testimony from the applicant and the audience, and he has the authority to terminate testimony from anyone that is irrelevant or unduly repetitive. Also in these proceedings, Sussex County and its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, source of income, handicap or disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. Also during the proceedings, no direct questioning or cross-examination of the applicant, supporters, or opponents will be permitted. Any questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission will direct the question to the appropriate person if necessary. Finally, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant unless requested or permitted by the commission. An individual supporting or opposing the application will only be allowed one opportunity to speak to the commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Our first public hearing is change zone number 1834, Colonial East LP.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a B1 neighborhood business district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 6.98 acres more or less. The property is located on the north side of Lewis Georgetown Highway Route 9, approximately 741 feet east of Minas Conaway Road. The 911 address is 30769 Lewis Georgetown Highway, Lewis. The tax map is District 334, Map 5, Parcel 165, and 334, Map 5, Parcel 164, and it's a portion of both of those parcels. Staff would note for the record that there is a staff analysis, an exhibit booklet, a site plan, and the planning office did receive two letters in support of the application stating that the B1 zoning is appropriate in this area. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Hutt.
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. Ross. For the record, my name is David Hutt. I'm a local attorney here in Georgetown. This evening, I'm representing the applicant, which is also the owner of the property, Colonial East LP. With me this evening are Steve Class, one of the principals of Colonial East LP, Ken Christenberry, an engineer with Axiom Engineering, and also DJ Hughes, an engineer with Davis Bowen and Friedel. The property that is the subject of tonight's application is one which I'm sure all of you are familiar with, and it is located on Route 9, Lewis Georgetown Highway. It is the area that we are talking about is right in front of the Sussex East and West manufactured home communities. This evening I'm going to present an overview of the application right now here at the outset. Then Mr. Christenberry is going to walk through the details of the surrounding area and why we believe the B1 zoning classification is appropriate for this property. Mr. Hughes is going to give a status update of where things are with respect to DLDOT. And then Mr. Class is going to speak regarding the community outreach and what the vision of Colonial East LP is for this area along Route 9. And then finally, I'll get up and make a few concluding comments. As I indicated, the owner of the property is Colonial East LP. At the outset of your exhibit notebook, which was referenced by Ms. Cornwell a moment ago, At the beginning, there is a deed for the property showing the ownership as well as a survey. Those are the first several tabs in the exhibit notebook. The property, as was mentioned a moment ago, it's an amalgamation of various tax parcels. You can see the arrow is actually on the screen, is going back and forth between them. So there are multiple tax parcels which are involved, and these parcels are currently the subject of three conditional uses. As you know, a conditional use is what is necessary to have a manufactured home community in the AR1 zoning district. Those conditional uses provide for a total of 350 manufactured home units. Currently, it is a 55-plus community, and there is a little more than 95% of the community is occupied by 55-plus residents. This is a community where a little more than 80% of the residents are year-round occupants. So this isn't necessarily one of those communities where folks are just here in the summertime. This is more of a year-round community. The application, as Mr. Christenberry will present in a moment, he'll outline the property. But essentially, it's almost 7 acres. It's 6.9 total, but I'll refer to it as 7 acres. Is in the area where you see the cursor going back and forth on the screen. It lies between Sussex East and West manufactured home communities and Route 9. And currently, that is zoned AR1. But the application tonight is to change that to a B1 zoning classification. Near the end of the presentation, Mr. Class will present to you what the vision is for the master plan for Sussex East and West and what is being labeled as Sussex Square for this area. But in general, it's exactly what the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance thinks of as a neighborhood business in the B1 zoning district. The hope is to be able to provide places for not only Sussex East and West, but the residents in the numerous residential communities that surround that area to come and have a cafe-type services, maybe small professional offices, but a mixture of those types of offices, not one strip mall, but several buildings with that type of a neighborhood business feel. And Mr. Class will go into that in a little more detail in a few moments. And the other thing that is hoped is that this will help alleviate the necessity of people going out to Route 1 to obtain some of those same services. They can stay west of Route 1, and particularly in the summer when there's quite a bit of congestion on Coastal Highway, they could avoid those things. At this time, I'm going to ask Mr. Christenberry to walk through some of the more details of that 7 acres, and then we'll hear from Mr. Hughes.
Good evening. Ken Christenberry with Axiom Engineering here in Georgetown. Does the mouse have work tonight?
Mm-hmm.
All right. There we go.
Okay. Maybe it's the operator that's having trouble.
Tuesday the mouse was missing. So I was at Janelle's mercy, but she was very kind.
We put mice poison out in the fall to keep them out.
This is the entirety of the two parcels that are owned by Colonial East. Essentially, this is Sussex East and this is Sussex West. Majority of the area is on it's a total of three parcels. The two eastern parcels here and here are the ones that are subject to this application. As you come in closer, this one's oriented, twisted so that Route 9 runs at the bottom of the page. Essentially, all the open area in the front of this project is what is intended to be rezoned into neighborhood business because it does abut a neighborhood that has expressed interest in having businesses that are more readily available. The existing office and community center and indoor pool will remain, and they will remain outside of the B1 district. There's no reason to pull those in. Those remain for the use of the residents. Your comprehensive plan identifies this as part of the environmentally sensitive developing overlay zone, and that does call for a mix of both residential and commercial uses. When you look on the tax map, you can see that the area has grown quite a bit, and then when you turn on the zoning, we're actually not that far from the commercial zoning that includes the vineyards. This is the State Planning Office's level 1, 2, 3, 4 state strategies map data that was downloaded from their website. And you can see we're in a level two. Level one is generally restricted to areas that are urban in nature. And so we are in an area where the state would consider contributions of state spending to encourage growth, both residential and commercial, as it's needed. These two photographs I'm about to show you, I find to be very helpful. This is from 1992, and I've identified on this slide all the developments that have occurred that I'm aware of since 1992, and you, just with a click of a mouse, you can see how the area has changed. So in 1992, this project was surrounded by a lot of vacant lands, both east and west of Route 1. This is actually facing south. Route 1 south is here. This is heading north. There's the Nassau Bridge. And you can see how in the last, 25 years, the area has grown significantly. Anyone that does live off of Minus Conaway Road, Minus Conaway Road was very rural 25 years ago. There was just a couple of developments along the pond, very low density, and then there was the beginning of Sussex East, which did not at that time have a direct connection to Minus Conaway Road. With the development of Sussex West, it is now connected to Minus Conaway Road. And Minus Conaway Road is about 80% built out. Every one of these residents could access this neighborhood business facility without entering either Route 1 or Route 9. So there's not an attempt to make a regional, Walmart, BJ's, big box type store, but there'd be an attempt to provide some classic neighborhood businesses so that those residents that live in this area who would rather not go on Route 9 actually have an alternative that provides for doctor's offices and other community type businesses and facilities. This is what the area looks like last April when Google had this satellite imagery taken. So you can see there's a fair amount of space to work with. Again, the developers or the owner just built an indoor swimming pool right here because they did want to provide a recreational amenity in this area, and that wasn't something that was proffered in any of their conditional uses. That was simply an attempt to improve the quality of life for those that live in these two communities. This is a concept. As you all are well aware, this is not something we can commit to in a rezoning, but it's an idea of what a possible building layout. The idea would be that you'd have attractive building faces facing Route 9 for the majority of the frontage, and then just a fairly simple parking lot area for the various building uses, whether it's medical offices or a small cafe, things of that nature. With that, I'm sure everyone's curious what's on DelDOT's mind. I'm going to turn this over to DJ Hughes. He is a traffic engineer with Davis Bonfordell. That's part of our team.
Good evening. Thank you, Ken. As Ken said, we are required to do a TIS.
DJ, just say your name for the record, please.
Sorry, DJ Hughes, Davis Bonfordell. We are required to do a TIS. We started the process with DelDOT. Submitting our first request for meetings with them back in February, and back in May we got a scope. We did counts for the weekday PM peak hour in the spring. We did counts, I think it was July 9th for the summer Saturday, and the counts were submitted and approved by DelDOT, and they were in the process of finalizing the traffic impact study. There were one all-site intersection that was required for the traffic impact study. The intersection I think everybody's familiar with, 9 Minus Conaway Road and Lakeview Boulevard. I think it's access to Lewis Landing there. And then the site access, it's the existing Sheffield Drive, serves Sussex East and West. It's also included in the TIS study area. As Ken and Dave both talked about, the land uses that are proposed are intended to help provide some services for whether it's the existing residents of Sussex East and West or generally any residents in the nearby area west of Route 1 to provide services they can access without impacting Route 1 by either crossing it or having to access it south of Route 9. And as far as the actual intersections themselves, Minus Conaway Road has been planned for a signal for some time now. The development of the vineyards at Nassau Valley is required to do a signal agreement there, and we'll be recommending that this developer contribute to a signal there as well. I think the development, his name is Mills Chase, it's right there on the corner. It was also required to do a signal agreement, but I think that's in the hands of the HOA and out of the developer now. So, but those are the three developments that would be have agreements for a signal there. And then it's up to DelDOT to decide when to install that signal. Sheffield Drive, right now you have an existing right turn lane and a bypass lane on Route 9. You don't have any accommodations for bicycles, and then you got one lane exiting. So what we're proposing to do is convert the bypass lane to a dedicated left turn lane. You have 260 feet of full width storage out on Route 9, it's an 11-foot turn lane, and then your 100-foot taper. So you have a 360-foot total left turn lane. Your right turn lane is about 50 feet and needs to be lengthened by, so that would be about, I think, a 400-foot right turn lane. There is no bike lane there, so that'll have to be widened with a bike lane between the through and the right turn lane. And then for the left turn lane, right now if somebody bypasses a left turn vehicle, there's nowhere for bicycles, but a shoulder will be required to the right of the through lane in the area, the left turn lane. And then we have to do proper transitions for the through lanes to get it back to where the through lane originally was. And we can do that before we, to the west before we get to Minus Conaway Road, and to the east before we get to Ebb Tide Drive. So that's basically the gist of the what's going on with the TIS. And then we'll have to get the response from DelDOT for the final recommendations and requirements. And then we'll have to get a letter of no objection from DelDOT and an entrance approval from DelDOT as well.
Are you leaving space so that, I mean, our hope is that eventually Route 9 will catch up to the 1970s proposal that it be expanded. Well, so are you in space that that can...
We do have to dedicate 10 feet of right-of-way on our site side. The existing right-of-way is 60 feet. The required right-of-way for a two-lane principal arterial is 80 feet, so 40 feet from center line. So we are dedicating the 10. It's a more right-of-way they have, but they don't have any plans specific to expand anything. So as far as what else it could accommodate, I'm not sure, but it can accommodate all the improvements that we're doing now for the access.
Okay, thank you.
Just and keep in mind that, as I think Mr. Hutter, Mr. Christianberry, or maybe Mr. Hughes said, you know, the commission's going to get another crack at this on
yes,
the site plan.
I know this is actually a question to go with site. With
no, but it's a good question.
Zone,
just a reminder, and for the public too.
I just want people to start thinking that way.
And then on the other side of the right of way, they require typically a 15-foot permanent easement too, and that's where your 10-foot bike ped or shared use path trail goes within that 15-foot easement. So from center line, DelDOT will basically have control over 55 feet from center line.
Thank you.
Yep. You're welcome.
Thank you.
At this time, I'm going to ask Mr. Class to review what, again, Colonial East's vision of what this will look like, and also the steps that he took with the community to, you'll hear from him in a moment about the efforts they made to find out what the community was interested in. Through a survey, and that survey is included in your exhibit notebooks at tab 21. You can actually see the survey, and then this is obviously the results.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, my name is Steve Class, Georgetown, Delaware, and thank you for allowing me to appear. This basic idea sort of developed by our residents, not by the owners of the property. Both are Sussex East and Sussex West. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
I'm a little taller. How's that?
That's great.
Okay. They are both 55 plus communities. We're the only land lease manufactured communities in Sussex County that are 55 plus. We're the only two. That requires that 80% of the home sites must have at least one person that's 55 years or older. So, over the years, developing the communities, we found that a lot of folks are having difficulty, basic shopping, basic small needs of Coastal Highway. Now, this is my fifth decade appearing before y'all, okay? So I've seen a lot of changes since the early 70s to 2017, And I don't see where Coastal Highway is actually going to get any better, especially for my folks here in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. So this idea came about by we sent a form out with a survey, and the item on the board is the survey results. I've met with the HOA. We've met with all of our residents that had any questions. We sent out the survey. We sent out postcards for this hearing, whether you're a proponent or opponent. We told our residents that this project would have absolutely no effect, and this is for the record, of the rent. It has no effect of an increase of any of their rents. The biggest thing that people wanted, talking to HOA and the folks, is they wanted a little cafe, a little place to have coffee or tea. And out of the 8 board members were there, 4 of them mentioned donuts 4 times. So I think it's a really important idea. We want to provide a little general store, nothing big. We want no drive-thrus. We don't want a Wawa. We want no gas stations, nothing in 10. We want this to be a village. We want people to ride a bicycle, want to walk, cut down on the automobile usage as much as possible. We welcome the neighbors and Mills Chase, Red Mill, Edgewater. You know, I've seen these places develop when there was not hardly anything there. So our intent is to make this look like a village, like where you used to live. You could walk to a store. You could pick up some postage stamps, a gallon of milk. And open it up to some professionals, perhaps some medical offices. We really would like to have a little hometown pharmacy there for those little blister packs. I don't know if you guys seen them. Us older folks, you know, we got all these little medicines, and every day of the week there's a card, and you push out that little medicine, that little pill. And we've talked to a couple folks that have some interest. Also, a low-impact fitness area, you know, no weights, you know. Sort of would tie in with our pool. Our pool has aquatics every Wednesday morning. I haven't seen any of the men in the aquatics, but it's the ladies come, okay? And they have a great time, and it's good exercise. We have to change ways that we're doing things. Another change that we're having is that the bicycle path, as you're aware of, the state is dedicated in 2018 to bring it from Lewis to Minus Conaway Road. We abut that area in the back of Sussex West, and we're taking a 10-foot easement area, 5 foot from one site and 5 foot from 5 foot from another, pave it to connect it with the future bike path. So we want to be proactive on this. We're going to have picnic tables. We're going to have bike racks at every store. The design that you saw was just an idea. You know what we felt we could do. So that's pretty much it. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Klass.
Very briefly, in concluding, I know that the commission is familiar with the purpose of a B1 zoning district. Frankly, you had a B1 zoning already this evening that you considered. But it is, when you look at the purpose of it in the code, it's for retail shopping and personal service uses for a relatively small area where there's nearby rural, low-density, or medium-density residential neighborhoods to enhance the general character of the district. And what you've just heard tonight about the surrounding area, what Mr. Christenberry presented, showing the, again, it's a relatively small area between essentially the Minos Conaway and Route 1 and a little bit south of there, but there is a, that is low-density and medium-density. And the types of shops and such that are being proposed here are exactly what's envisioned by the zoning code's B1 neighborhood district. You heard that the state strategies has this in a level 2 area, which is where growth of this type is encouraged. The comprehensive plan encourages growth in this area similar to that. And when you look at the site configuration, as was indicated by several people, the concept plan that was shown is simply that. It's simply a concept. As I said at the outset, though, the goal here is not a 75,000 square foot strip building. And when you look at how the almost seven acres lays out, it actually wouldn't accommodate one large building. It will accommodate exactly what you just heard from Mr. Klass, which is multiple smaller buildings where people can have that village or neighborhood type feel and go from their donut store to whatever else happens to be there, pick up something at a small hometown pharmacy type area. With that, myself and any of the engineers and Mr. Class are ready for any questions that the commission may have, and we would of course ask that the commission recommend approval of this rezoning to county council.
Thank you, Mr. Hutt. Very thorough presentation. We'll start with Mrs. Hoey Stevenson.
So you're saying I could ride my bike to get my donuts?
That's a good way to get your donuts, actually.
Actually, I don't. I understand the B1 district, and I know the property very well. I have no questions, actually.
Mr. Hopkins?
No questions.
Mr. Hudson?
No questions, thanks.
And I have no questions. We'll see if the public has any interest in your application. Remind the public that this is a change in zone application. So the question here is this site appropriate to change in zone from AR1 to B1? With that, is there anyone here who would like to speak in favor of the change in zone request 1834 Colonial East? Yes, ma'am. You have to give us your name and address, please.
Sorry.
There you go.
My name's Patricia Williams, and I live at 9 Enfield Lane, which is at the back of Sussex East. I've been there since 2002, and I think this is wonderful. I used to, many years ago, work for the Baltimore City Department of Planning as a draftsman. And so, I was handling the graphics for planning, and I just love this. This is great.
Thank you very much. Anyone else like to speak in favor? Anyone like to speak in opposition to this application? Seeing no one rise, anyone on the commission have any questions?
No.
Mrs. Walls?
Ms.
Whitehouse?
No, thank you.
Ms. Cornwell?
None, thank you.
Mr. Robertson?
None.
We're going to close the public hearing. You're welcome to stay with us tonight and see if we make a decision, or you may call the office in the morning.